Grace and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is Father's Day, and that is an important day. And but before we fathers get too puffed up, I just want you to remember that in this country, pickles get a whole week. So just saying, okay? This morning I want to tell you a storyline I recently came across for a proposed book or even a movie. The genre or type of the story would probably be called fantasy, kind of like the Harry Potter series of books and movies, I suppose. But it goes something like this. A land existed called Fishland. Fishland was owned by a king who lived in a land whose headquarters and palace was in another land some distance away. Fishland was a new land, totally uninhabited at first, but the king saw what a good place this could be and placed in it everything needed for a really good life. Then he placed some very special people whom he loved very much and who knew him well and loved him in Fishland to live there and populate the land and enjoy all that he had made for them there. The people in that place had many children, but it didn't take very long until an old and powerful enemy, the king, entered Fishland, began to convince a number of the people that the king didn't have their best interests in mind, that they could live better without listening to him and figure better things out for themselves. Well, of course, the enemy had lied to the people, but he had this way of clouding their minds so they just couldn't see that. The vast majority of the people of Fishland became influenced by and even subjects of the enemy, and the land became very evil and poisoned with their actions. The king sent representatives from himself to encourage the people not to listen to the enemy, to come back to believing him and his words and trusting him. Well, this encouraged the people who remained loyal to him, but didn't seem to stem the tide of those following the enemy. The representatives also relayed a promise from the king that he would send his own son to Fishland one day to conquer the enemy and all his followers and rescue them, that all who believed this promise and didn't fall under the influence of the enemy would be rewarded with adoption as sons of the king themselves, would even make them heirs of his kingdom, and would receive transport back to the king's palace in the king's land there to live with him and his son if they died before he came. Well, those who believed the king's word had a rather tough time in Fishland. Living amongst all the followers of the enemy, they were made fun of and at times persecuted and tortured for their loyalty to the king. They were also affected by all the evil that had become part of life in Fishland as a result of the majority of the people following the deceitful ways of the enemy. But the king's word was true. One day his son did come and live among them. And he tried to convince those and invite those, all those people of Fishland, all of them, to return to the king and honor him and worship him. But the people loyal to the enemy grabbed him and they killed him. They buried him. But the son of the king had the power to rise again, and he did rise, and he just appeared to the loyal people again and told them that he would be back one day with all the king's soldiers and army, and he would destroy all the people of Fishland who were subjects of the enemy. And the enemy himself would be destroyed. He would even burn up Fishland and clean it out with fire and re-cleanse it and recreate it. And then they would all come back, those loyal to the king, and live there. And he would live with them. The king's word was true. The son's word was true. And one day the son of the king did come with all the king's forces and destroyed the enemy and all his followers and purified the entire land and made it new and clean and good again. And he brought all the believers, both those who had died and already gone to the king's palace, and those who still lived in Fishland at the time, back to the renewed and cleansed Fishland to live there. And the king himself and his son came to Fishland to live there with them. And they lived there happily ever after. You think that story would sell? Think I'd be a bestseller of any kind? If you were to read that story or to watch the movie, knowing the ending, knowing that the king and the son and all who believed in him would win and be restored and become co-heirs and owners and live in this new place without evil, without the enemy, without all that, would you be rooting for them during the movie and the book? Would you want them to stand fast in the face of all their troubles, even when people were mocking them and making fun of them? Would you kind of laugh to yourself and say, boy, they're going to get theirs one day. They don't know who they're talking to. These are heirs of the king, son or daughter of God. I missed one little part of the plot there. The son, when he was there, he said all who believed in him could receive a sign to mark them as one of his. And it would be a sign that would only be recognized by other believers and the king and the son himself. And when they died, if they died, that mark would make sure that they got transported back to the king's land and the king's palace by a kind of a secret underground railroad that nobody could see. And when they got there, the king himself had the power to make them live again. And they would wait there with him until the king's son came in his final glory and fixed everything. If you knew that ending, and you knew it was happening, and you knew it would be part of the movie or the book, how would you feel about the believers as they lived in this strange world of mixed realities? The reality that they were sons and daughters of the king, and yet for a while they had to endure those who didn't believe in him. But at the end they would all come back and be vindicated. They would even dance on the ashes of the followers of the enemy. Have you figured this out? This is not a new fantasy story to come out in a new book or movie, that this book has already been written. We read from it every week. It's been the number one bestseller for I don't know how many thousands of years. It's called the Bible. Have you figured out that you are in this story and so am I? Have you figured out that this is a very real story that means ultimate reward or destruction for every one of us here today, and our children, and our loved ones? We are in this story right now. The only part that is yet to happen, although it's already been written in the book of Revelation, and we're just waiting for it and marching toward it, is the continuing glorious last chapter for the believers, or the hellish end in the next to last chapter for those who, knowingly or not, were and are followers of the enemy. We are sons and daughters of the king and co-heirs with Christ. It comes from our epistle lesson, and it's printed on the front of your worship folder, the select verses, Galatians 4, 6, and 7. Because you are his sons, and earlier it says, all who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and you are the children of God. and co-heirs because you are his sons. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out on this Father's Day, Abba, which is a term of endearment, which means Father. We would say more like Daddy. Daddy. One of trust. So you are no longer a slave under the thumb of the enemy and his followers, but God's child. You have been marked that way in holy baptism, all of us here today who have been baptized. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. That's something I want you to try to wrap your mind around today. We can't fully comprehend that, but this isn't the only place it says that. In baptism, God the Father has adopted us. You have two fathers now. You have a physical father, whether you know it or not, him or not, in this world, some of us. The picture of a father is not a pleasant picture, and I am so sorry for that. I learned that early in my ministry, when I was talking to the children, and I would say, just like your father loves you, takes care of you. And I realized I wasn't talking to everybody, and I wasn't talking to everybody in the audience. I would have women come into my office and tell how their father had abused them and mistreated them and abandoned them. And I realized I couldn't count on a fatherly image being a good picture for everybody. But this father is. This is the way fathers, you and I as fathers, were meant to be. Loving, caring, providing. We are now sons and daughters of that Father. And we can trust him to keep his word. And his word is true. It's found all through Scripture. And the ending is sure. And we are co-heirs with Christ of the kingdom of God. And it's described in Revelation and other places that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Some think this one recreated the way Adam and Eve saw it and experienced it. And we will be here after the resurrection. And God and the Son themselves will live here with us. And we will all have a peace. And we will all have the great blessing of beautiful work and responsibility to do. Not the way we have it now with sweat of the brow and thorns and all that stuff. But Adam and Eve were given work in the garden. It's a gift. We will enjoy it. We will be fulfilled by it. We can't even imagine what it would be like, and it's okay if we can't. We simply need and can believe it. But how then should we live? Knowing that this is true, how then can we live knowing this is true? What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of today? Why? Can it separate you from being a son or daughter of the King and a co-heir with Christ of the new heaven and the new earth? Can it separate you or destroy the promise of being with your heavenly Father and his Son Jesus, your brother? No. As Paul says in Romans, nothing, he even lists a bunch of stuff, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can walk around this place like you own it. You don't need to be afraid of anybody or anything. Death itself cannot hurt you. It only advances you to the real life. Enjoy this one as long as you can and will. Take advantage of it. Be proud. Lift up your heart. Puff out your chest. Lift your head high. This is your place. You are a son or daughter of the King. These people don't know who they're messing with. Neither does cancer or worry or homelessness or financial problems or family problems. They're all conquered in Christ. Yeah, we still have to go through them, but we can go through them with a joyful heart. Not happy necessarily, but joy in knowing what's to come and who we really are. You and I are sons and daughters of a wonderful, wonderful Father who is the King. Remember that. Live like it. In Jesus' name, amen.